Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode. Episode 46 of Can You Get to That? Yes, really. Yes. I'm Matt Olson.
And I'm Caitlin Best.
Hey, Caitlin.
Caitlin Interrupting Best. That's my middle name today on this day.
It's okay.
Yeah, wow. It's almost a year. Let's not celebrate yet, though.
Let's not celebrate yet, but yeah. We've got some things in mind for when we approach a year.
Oh, boy, yeah, we sure do. But I'm not going to tell you what they are, because that would spoil the surprise. So, yeah, this is a low-energy version, low-energy edition of Can You Get to That? Sorry, go ahead.
This is untenable right now.
Yeah.
Because you're Caitlin Interrupting Best.
That's right, yeah.
Which also implies you're the best at interrupting.
Yeah, I am, that's true.
So I shouldn't be able to interrupt you in turn.
Well, no, I mean, I like to interrupt people, and so I respect when they want to interrupt me. That's how that works.
Caitlin, why are you in bed?
I'm in bed because my back hurts, because I'm you know, one more day on the inevitable march towards the day when I disintegrate into dust, as we all will. So,
fuck.
Yeah, that's pretty much my story today. What's up with you?
Yeah. This is really low energy. You are correct. I'm just we're recording later than normal, which means it's additionally later for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just sipping on a Corona.
God, I'm so fucking jealous of you.
Sorry. Ugh. I wish I could send it to you over the internet. Caitlin, I'll hold it up to my webcam so you can see the golden.
Oh, it looks so good. Put it away.
Golden
put it away.
Nectar.
I can't look. I can't look.
You can have any beer you want, so long as it's not a Corona, Caitlin.
Yeah, so long as it's a fucking Widmer, because that's all that's in my stupid fridge.
Whose fault is that?
Caitlin's fault.
It's Caitlin's fault, isn't it?
Right.
Well, but let's not call this low energy. Let's call this, Can You Get to That? Nights.
Ooh, I like that. Is it going to get a little blue?
Where we're going to really earn that explicit tag this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This week's topic was suggested to us by our friend Jeremy Lawrence, Cool Jer.
A.K.A. Cool Jer.
A.K.A. at Gunboat on Twitter. And Caitlin, can you tell me what the topic is? I tried to send it to you exactly as it's phrased.
One second. Just give me a minute. Our topic is United States versus approximately 64,695 pounds of shark fins.
Indeed it is.
The
more I think about this, the more I dwell on this in my head. That's a fucking, that's a lot of shark fins.
It's a lot of fins.
I almost said a ton, but it's multiple tons.
It's many tons. It's 32 tons.
Is a ton 2,000 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I should know that.
Yeah, well...
Actually, I don't know if that's really necessary. I never really have to measure things in tons, except when I choose a really hard topic for us on the podcast.
Yeah, you don't do a lot of... You're not involved in, like, shipping or, like, the elephant trade or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I did consult with you. This isn't just my call. I did throw out a couple of the other things that Jeremy suggested and a couple other suggestions we've received recently.
Yeah,
I don't want to
lame.
No, they're not all lame. Just, you know, this topic is going to be what really earns us that nights. Because if you're just contemplating death and I'm just kind of taking it easy tonight and sipping on that golden nectar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we'll play it a little bit edgier and maybe a little bit more educational. What do you say?
Sounds
do you want
good
some background?
I would love some backgrounds.
All right. Caitlin, can you first guess though, why the United States
sued all those shark fins.
why it's litigation against shark fins, or how that works.
The fins wanted to leave their sharks. They wanted to strike off on their own, and the United States said, no, those fins are on the sharks for a reason. It's so people know when the sharks are coming, and so you have to stay on the sharks.
Okay. I want you to try to remix what you just told me as your idea. Change up a couple things, and I'll tell you if it's warmer or colder to the actual reality.
Okay. Go. So the sharks wanted to get rid of their fins, and the fins wanted to stay on the sharks, and the United States said, no, if the sharks don't want you anymore, you have to leave.
Let me tell you, Caitlin,
yeah,
about a little something called in rem jurisdiction.
Is that like when you're asleep?
No.
When you're in the time when you're dreaming?
If you are being tried under in rem jurisdiction, you are an inanimate object.
Okay.
You are property. You are not a person.
Or you're the band fronted by Michael Stipe, right?
No, that's you. Then you have to say in REM, and it has to be capitalized.
Okay.
Jurisdiction.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great band. Great joke.
Thanks. Thank you. Yes.
In rem jurisdiction is the power a court can exercise over property.
Yeah.
And it's used in special cases. And what happened here, shark finning at the time, I think this is early 2000s, was already outlawed. And a ship that was based in Hong Kong, but like American aligned, like flew the American flag, whatever, was inspected by either the Navy or the Coast Guard.
Wait. Time out. So if you're a ship, right, and your ship home is in Hong Kong, for example, like you said, you don't have to be affiliated with Hong Kong. You can just be like, fuck it, no man, I'm from South Africa.
Well, I'm pretty sure what it is, it's like it's a Hong Kong to US like shipping business, and like that ship's home port is Hong Kong, but it's American interests, you know, so they're American. And so they're searched, and lo and behold, this ship is carrying approximately 64,695 pounds of shark fins.
The thing about that number is that it's a fairly exact number.
It's pretty accurate, isn't it?
And so, like, why do they have to say approximately?
I'm wondering if that was just a goof added.
You think it's a goof?
Well, I'm just wondering if it was added for funsies.
On Wikipedia or by, like, the prosecutor?
By, like, the prosecutor.
Yeah.
So the fins were found, and the sailors involved, you know, with running the ship or whatever, I think they were tried separately. But in order to, like, have seizure of the fins, like, to, like, make sure that they were taken care of and not being, you know, just, like, in a limbo state, forfeiture was conducted in rem. Then later, apparently, someone argued back, hey, under this like anti-finning act or whatever, the way the fins were seized isn't legal, so
you owe us
damages, because I'm pretty sure the fins had been destroyed or something at that point.
Wait, who is us? When you say you owe us damages, who is us in that sentence?
Some shark finners, I guess.
Okay.
And then this was later fixed in this loophole that they found, whereby they were able to argue that the seizure was legal, was later fixed in like a revised, like, hey, don't fin sharks act that I think was sponsored by Obama or like signed by Obama. So Obama, he's got sharks in mind.
So do the fins get legal representation?
I didn't look too much deeper into in rem jurisdiction because I was worried that that might be our link to the page, and I didn't want to snoop around too much.
Okay.
I'm just kind of thinking, like, you're just in a courtroom, and then there's just, like, the prosecutor.
Uh-huh, and a really, really big box of shark fins.
Or a picture of said shark fins.
A picture, yeah.
And the prosecutor just says, hey, it's illegal to take these. Look at that fuck ton.
Or maybe look at a live, that 30, maybe that a live 32 video fuck feed. Tons. You think they put a live video feed of the shark fins?
That's also possible, because you gotta keep an eye on them at all times. Make sure no one else gets those.
Don't want anybody else getting their grubby hands on those fins.
All right, should we launch into it?
Yes.
Do you have any other questions before we do? About fins.
About fins.
About 32 plus tons of fins.
Not right now. I'll let you know if I think of anything.
Okay.
All right. Random article.
Oh, fuck.
Karen Bentley, Caryn Bentley, is a South African former field hockey player who competed in the 2000 Summer Olympics. And that's all it says.
I love starting on sports. I love starting on
the Olympics. Love a good sports stub.
And, but field hockey's new. We haven't done field hockey before.
It's true. We've never landed on a field hockeyer.
I'm almost compelled to just click field hockey, but I don't think
I mean, so you were saying you think that in-rim jurisdiction is our door.
Yeah.
Or our foot, shall I say. Our foot that we're going to jam into the door.
Mm-hmm. But that could be, I mean, that could still be tricky, you know?
Obviously, this is going to be fucking tricky. Just like it was tricky to keep the shark fins out of our great country in the first place.
Also, it should be noted, Karen Bentley and I have the same birthday.
It's September 19th, 1974.
Precisely.
I didn't realize, Matt.
Precisely. I'm really fucking old.
I didn't realize you were that old.
Yeah, I look good for being born in 74, don't I?
Very good, yeah.
You want to ask me where I was the day the Berlin Wall fell?
Where were you the day the Berlin Wall fell?
Berlin.
Which side?
See, that part's a little harder to remember. Weirdly enough.
You were on top of the wall.
Both sides were happy that it was being torn down. So, you know, it's like, it's all a blur.
It's all the same. It's like,
because you see, Caitlin, once it was torn down, I went over to the other side. So it's like, who's to say, like, really?
Why does it even matter? Yeah, you've forgotten. Why would you remember something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, see, it's not the most important detail. It's just that I was there.
Just that you were there. As Ronald Reagan personally took the sledgehammer to the wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to click South Africa. Okay, waiting.
Let's run down what we've got here.
Okay.
We've got South Africa.
Yes.
South African, but it links to South Africa.
Yeah.
Field hockey.
Right.
In the 2000 Summer Olympics.
Okay.
So.
Which were in Sydney.
I believe so. Do you remember where you were?
I know.
Do you remember where you were during the 2000 Summer Olympics?
Sydney.
Which side of Sydney? The sporty side or the lame side?
I was actually in the opera house the entire time. I was just there to see the opera. I wasn't there for the Olympics.
But it was problematic because they did have tennis in the opera house.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was a little disappointed.
It was a little bit of a mishmash there.
Yeah.
Tennis opera, as it were. Mm-hmm. The only time that's ever been attempted in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, in South Korea, it's actually quite common.
And it's happening all the time in North Korea. We just don't know. Nothing gets in, nothing comes out. But you know. Yeah,
and they've been trying to get it added to the regular Olympics roster, as it were, for a lot of years, but it's not popular outside of Korea for whatever reason.
So what I'm thinking is South Africa, we can try to get to like the judicial system of South Africa and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Olympics, we can see if there's any scandals of the 2000 Summer Olympics that then were tried in court or something.
Yeah, well,
try to get to the courts that way.
There were like steroid scandals, but I don't know if that was like after. It wasn't like I don't remember them catching anyone during the Olympics.
Okay. And then field hockey. We could just talk about field hockey.
Yeah.
And roll the dice and see, hey, have there been any court cases related to field hockey ever? It's possible, isn't it?
Oh my god, there definitely haven't been, dude. Nobody cares about field hockey outside of, like, it's popular in like 3 countries, I feel like.
Well, that's a little bit of a harsh judgment,
yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, fuck field hockey. Fuck that sport.
Okay.
And so nobody on Wikipedia is here. There's no field hockey lobbyists on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to get on that. Let's click South Africa.
Okay.
Step 2, South Africa. Now, Caitlin, I don't know if this is going to be offensive or not, but if I recall, you've been boning up on your South African accent, correct?
Oh my god, no, Matt. That's the one that I'm like most I can't. That's
you've
the,
not been
that's...
listening to Die Antwoord and watching Chappie over and over again.
No, dude, that's my line. That's where it stops. That's like the in The Lion King when they look across the savannah and there's that place at the end of the horizon that you're not supposed to go to.
Uh-huh.
That's the South African accent to me. Like, I'm not going to go there.
Damn.
Nothing, you know, it's a wonderful accent. It's a wonderful, you know, mashup of different languages and cultures.
It's nuanced.
Yeah, but it's too nuanced for me.
They've got a lot of colors on their flag.
Yeah, they do. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's a lot of colors on one flag.
It's more than we got here. It's twice as many.
Yeah. Their motto translates to unity in diversity.
Mm-hmm. I bet that's why they have all the colors.
And their anthem is just called the National Anthem of South Africa. Feels like, compared to the number of colors on their flag,
it's
a little
lackluster. A little dull, yeah. Do you think do you think the words are just like, it's an anthem about an anthem? You know?
A really meta anthem?
Yeah.
I guess anything to avoid dwelling on apartheid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just go real meta
to
try and undercut.
Yeah,
that.
they just make it like really general.
So I might be dipping a toe in some hot water here, mm-hmm. in some political territory here, Caitlin.
Yeah.
But you may have heard that my new governor passed a piece of legislation,
mm-hmm.
That says, hey, if, for instance, I wanted to support a movement boycotting Israel over mm-hmm. concerns about the Israel-Palestine conflict,
mm-hmm.
I get put on a list where I can't work for the government or receive, like, you know, government money.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, imagine if this had happened. Well, they weren't like, imagine if this had happened. But like, imagine if the thing that we were protesting was just called apartheid. And mm-hmm. they just did it again.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. That came to a close like before we were born, right? Before you were born, right? Or, like, right as
no,
you were born.
No, I think
born.
It was shortly after I was born.
But then before I was born.
Yes. Well, look, here we are, right here. We can look this up.
We can look this up. We're on the page for South Africa. We should be mm-hmm. able to figure this out. This is where we're getting that knight's edge.
Mm-hmm. That real educational shit.
Yeah.
You don't find anywhere else.
Yeah. you could listen to a podcast where people know about world events and mm-hmm. know what years they took place in more details.
Yeah. Okay, so not totally clear. In 1990, the National Party government took the first steps toward dismantling discrimination when it lifted the ban on the African National Congress, released Nelson Mandela from prison. It's a negotiation
process. I'd say so 1990 then, right? And then first universal elections in 1994. So.
Yeah, so sometime between 1990 and 1994, but
maybe it was the year I was born, maybe not, but
Wait, Matt, you were born in 1974.
Oh, you're right. Never mind.
Come on.
Happened way later.
Anyway, you were saying.
Here's a weird thing. I don't remember where I was when the Berlin Wall fell. Yeah. Approximately. Uh-huh. Approximately.
Right.
You were in
the vicinity of Berlin.
No, I was in Berlin for sure.
Okay.
But it was in approximately 64,695 square feet that encompassed both sides of the wall.
Right, right. Within 64,695 feet of the wall. On one side or the other. A margin of that width.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the wall smacked out in the middle.
Yeah.
Don't remember apparently that much about apartheid, other than Nelson Mandela being released, which we'll have to circle back around to. But
right, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
The point also I was trying to get to.
Okay.
In my meandering. Let me have another sip of Corona here. It's going to help this Jesus. Out a lot.
Hey, stick it up next to the microphone so we can hear you. Ooh, yeah, there it is.
You hear a little squeak there?
It's a little suck.
Ugh. This is going places. The point I'm trying to get to is, do you think that if what's happening in New York now and perhaps more in the future with regards to this international turmoil, and we're having this legislation that's like borderline McCarthyist, like rammed down our throats, do you think that it's like a cyclical thing, or are we going to continue to regress? Like, was there like a peak somewhere? Like only 90s kids remember when free speech existed, and now like with Peter Thiel and then like limits on the First Amendment, you know, in New York with regards to protests and stuff, is it just going to be like there was a peak and now we're just like slowly sliding back down?
No, it's cyclical. Remember McCarthyism? Like, remember that thing?
Yeah, well, I'm saying like so we're saying cyclical then. You're saying cyclical.
Yeah, we're saying cyclical.
But Caitlin, counterpoint, what if in like 30 years, I think that matches up, right? What if in 30 years we're saying, "Hey, smoke cigarettes, it's good for you again."
It doesn't match up. It's going to be more than 30 years, but
when are we saying cigarettes were good for you? How long ago was that?
That was longer ago than 30 years.
No, I'm saying it plus 30 years. Like, if the peak was like...
The peak of cigarettes being good for you? I'm going to say the peak 1935.
The peak of civilization.
Oh. Wait, what?
Of Western civilization.
The peak of Western civilization?
I'm saying it was probably pre-9/11, right?
The peak of Western civilization was like... fucking like 1500. It was like the reign of Louis the 14th, dog. It's gone. It's long gone.
Okay, because I think it was I think it was when NSYNC was hot and we had those big IMAX with the colored shells and everything since then has just been a step backwards.
The like fruit by the foot IMAX.
Caitlin, you can see... I can't see you right now, but you can see my webcam.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking at it.
Do I look really hot? Like, do I look like I'm about to have a stroke or something? Because I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
When you said, do I look really hot, what I thought you were asking was, like, do I look, like, sexy as fuck right now?
Well, that's another question for the Knight's Edge. And
the answer is, you do. You look just like Vin Diesel.
Okay, because I'm looking at my webcam feed and I just look like regular old Matt Olson, so I don't even know what's real anymore. When's my birthday? It's definitely September sometime.
September 5th, 1974?
It's definitely between 5 and 30 somewhere. It's somewhere in that vicinity.
Right, right. It's not before the 5th.
It's approximately September 19th some year.
Like, roughly. I mean, we don't know, really. How do we know? We don't know.
So, this leads back to another thing I think we've talked about before. Remember, or you're familiar with the Mandela effect, right?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it on this podcast.
On this very show.
Yeah.
Did we...
Hey, where were you when Mandela died?
See, here's the thing, though. I don't remember him dying.
You don't remember him dying?
Well, that's the thing about the Mandela effect, is that people say either he died in prison or he was released and became president.
Right. See, the thing is, both are incorrect. He actually died on the same day that you were watching the Berlin Wall get torn down.
That's what you remember?
He was there, too. I remember that.
But which side of the wall was he on? He's much more famous than me. Someone should have written that
down.
Why
does that matter? That's another detail. Why does that matter? You know?
Because what if he was on one side of the wall and then we skip into another timeline and he's on the other?
Oh, I mean, God, Jesus Christ. This is the whole problem.
What I don't think we got into on the John Titor thing was, have you ever had an experience like this?
Where I had one like that this weekend, my dude.
Give me the story.
I'm afraid it's not that great of a story, but I felt just like those Mandela people.
Was it during reunions?
It was during reunions. You know our friend Marissa?
Mm-hmm.
I have thought for the last, 4 years that she was a year above me in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that we're the same year.
Now that's funny. Because you know
what? Is that
what?
Funny? What?
I have also held in my mind, your class of 2013.
Yes.
I've also had it in my mind for a while. And before I left, it was actually refuted by Marissa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also thought Marissa was class of 2012.
See, everybody fucking thinks that. I bet even she thought that until this weekend when they handed her the thing that said class of 2013.
So here's what we have to settle amongst our friend group now.
Yeah.
And we're just we're drilling. This is for like the inner circle.
Yeah.
This is truly our podcast just becoming our weekly dispatch to our circle of friends.
Yeah.
We have to settle amongst ourselves whether or not we have experienced a skip in time.
Oh my God. Yeah. I switched time streams and I think you switched with me.
It's very possible. I'm convinced now that Marissa graduated with you.
She definitely did in this time, in this version of reality. But in the one I was in before, that wasn't true.
Yeah, let's say also, perhaps.
Yeah.
The one you were in before, maybe I was born in 1992.
Yeah, that's... God, there's a possibility.
It's possible, right? It's very possible that in the other timeline, I was not 42 years old.
Yeah. I think I kind of remember that, actually.
I'm ashamed I'm going to give you a little peek behind the scenes here. I did just have to subtract 1974 from 2016.
Did you use your calculator on your phone?
I used it on the Mac.
Nice.
Not proud that I wasn't able to just say, hey, that's 42 years, you dumb fuck.
That's the thing that I can never calculate in my head. Is like somebody's age based on their birth date. I can never ever do that. Because it's not just the year, it's the month. That's like, that's too many factors for me to deal with. All right, so we've been on this fucking page for a while. Where are we gonna go?
I don't remember half of the shit I just said.
Yeah, it didn't make sense, so I think that's fine.
I think we go to rule of law, which you have highlighted.
Yeah, I think
so
too. Yeah,
step three.
That's why I was hovering. Rule of law is a legal principle that law should govern a nation as opposed to being governed by arbitrary decisions of individual government officials.
Nice.
Nice.
Wait, hold on. Oh, okay. I thought that the last sentence at the top here was government based upon the rule of law is called normocracy. Which I thought was really funny when I read it that way. Turns out it's just nomocracy, which is not as funny.
Oh my God, we should try to change that.
Wow, that's really normocratic of you.
Oh, fucking those fucking norms.
Like, normocratic seems like a good diss. Like, you'd use it to like roast someone you'd also describe as neoliberal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just these fucking normocratic, neoliberal, hate Gawker shitlords.
Hate Gawker. They roll up to their office. They like to run to their Capitol Hill office every morning. in their Steph Curry.
Oh my god.
What are it's like the Under Armour like chef
the Chef Curry 2s or something.
Chef Curry or some shit. Yeah.
Holy shit. Sorry. I mean, it's a little bit of a I feel like this topic of ire is already cooling down a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
But oh my god, those fucking shoes are atrocious, are they not?
They are.
I can't imagine, like, their focus testing must be for those shoes. Like, they must be just,
They take them to the fucking Normocrats at the top of the Under Armour HQ.
They take them straight to Mark Zuckerberg, and they're like... Well, I guess Zuckerberg supported Bernie, though, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, he supported Bernie, so he must have great shoe taste.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's gotta be, like, a Hillary man.
It definitely
sure.
is a Hillary... No, it's a Mitt Romney man, really.
No, what it is, it's one of those fucking billionaires who also believes in accelerationist principles who's going to be like, I'm going to give Donald Trump $100,000 because I also don't care.
What billionaires are there like that?
They exist. Point being, they take them to those people, and those are literally the only people on Earth who don't look at those shoes in a focus group setting and go, sorry, there's no better way
to put
this.
Sorry, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
There's no better way to put this, but what are those?
Yeah. Like, what are those?
What are those? What are those?
What are those?
What are those? Like, that's the reaction. They look like you took the color beige and fed it in to a machine that spat out tennis shoes, and what came out was a very white, featureless
Weirdly
tennis
enough,
shoe.
Was a white shoe.
Yeah. Well, I'm imagining It's concentrated beige, so it has to be, like, worked and stretched like taffy.
Yeah.
And so most of the dark pigment concentrates in the Under Armour logo itself, and then the rest of it's just pure white.
I mean, that is the shape of the color beige, so...
They're fucking miserable. But do you think they make you really good at threes, though? Because if they make you really good at threes, those shoes are going to sell like gangbusters.
I bet they actually make you really bad at threes, and that's the whole thing.
Steph is trying to sabotage?
Yes, exactly. He's trying to cut down on the competition so that he can be the three king forevermore, you know?
Yeah. Here, I'll make this episode a little bit more topical, because These shoes were revealed a couple days ago now, and we're still in the midst of the NBA finals, which I am kind of following because I do want to see the Golden State Warriors fail so that, like,
That's
the tech part
happen.
Of San Francisco just drowns in its own tears.
That's not gonna happen.
Let me read to you this sign that someone brought to tonight's game. Today is Monday, June 13th. And this is a sign that was brought to tonight's game in protest of Draymond Green being removed from the game.
For punching LeBron in the balls, right?
For cumulative fouls, is my understanding.
But also for punching LeBron in the balls specifically.
Exactly.
Like, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Allow me to read this sign to you.
Okay.
LeBron, .. Take the, quote, high road, end quote. Uh-huh. Back to Cleveland with your second year losing to the Golden State Warriors. You are no longer known as, quote, King James, unquote. You are now, quote, loser cry baby James, quote, parentheses, with your feelings, quote, hurt, quote, end parentheses.
What? That's a sign that someone brought to the ball game?
Caitlin, it's just printed on, like, glossy printer paper. I want to say, like, 8.5 by 17, maybe a little wider than that.
I mean, the size is 11 by 17.
Yeah. But it maybe even wider than that. It's got, like, the sign size, but this is all computer typeset. The first chunk is blue.
Okay.
The last line is italic red, sans serif font. And, I do believe that if that is the best that Silicon Valley can muster in the way of trash talk,
Mm-hmm.
When we do have to rise up against the Facebooks and Ubers of the world,
mm-hmm.
we will just be able to shout them into submission. We won't even have to lift a finger.
Yeah, and when you say shout, you mean just like look at them hard?
Quite possibly, because if that's the fire they're bringing, lose your cry, baby James.
wait, how is it, where are you getting that particular prosody from?
Prosody?
What's the spacing and punctuation look like on that phrase?
Oh, it's just lose or cry, baby James.
Just different words?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Separated, all caps, bold, nice. Bold text. The bold text makes it seem almost like it is an insult that a human being would create, but then you remind yourself that that's not how language works, and it's just lose or cry, baby James.
Yeah, you can't talk in bold.
No.
Okay, what do you think of clicking on this thing called prosecutorial discretion?
What do you think of clicking on prosecutorial discretion?
I mean, I don't know what that word means, but it sounds like something that happens in maybe a courtroom. So... we can also maybe go to federal government.
No, I think that's too zoom out. Yeah, I think we might have to try prosecutorial discretion. Right. Step four. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Oh man, this would be a fucking great time for
my
internet to stop working, although I'm still talking to you, so...
Yeah, and it redirected us to selective enforcement.
Yeah, which sort of, now that I think about it, kind of makes sense.
Is selective enforcement what it's called when in, like, an action movie,
mm-hmm.
they bring a criminal out and they say, hey, we could just keep you locked up in prison forever.
Yeah.
Or you could help us settle this score.
Or you could go do a car race against some other criminals.
Yes.
And if you win, they go to prison and you go free.
Yes. Is that selective enforcement?
It's that. Yes, that's what it is.
How about this, though?
It says it right here. In law, selective enforcement occurs when government officials, such as police officers, prosecutors, or regulators, exercise enforcement discretion. Which is the power to choose whether or how to punish a person who has violated the law.
Now, let me stop you there.
Also, won a car race.
This is actually on the page. For example, a verbal warning to a teenager may effectively alter his behavior without resorting to legal punishment and with the added benefit of reducing governmental legal costs.
Yeah, right. Cops, you can't tell me what to do.
If more teens understood that they could just get away with shit...
With a stern warning.
Because it will save the government money...
Yeah.
Teens would just run rampant, would they not?
Yeah, teens would be fucking swearing and spitting gum all over the sidewalk.
That's my life in New York City now, you realize.
What? Spitting gum?
Roving bands of teenagers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They hassling you?
They hassle me every day. They hassle me. They hassle me on the train. They hassle me at the bodega.
Mm-hmm.
They hassle me at the luxury condos.
You live in?
No, I don't live in the luxury condos.
But the teens do?
I named the three places you go in New York. Sorry.
Those are the three places that there are in New York.
Sorry, there's four places in New York. There's also... NBC Studios. You know, where they film The Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live and The Today Show.
Right. And out of those four places, which one has the most teens in it?
Out of those four places that you go to in New York?
Out of the places that there are in New York, which one has the most teens?
Have you watched The Today Show recently? It's been taken over by teens.
It's all teens.
And Al Roker.
And it's like, how do they even get there? Like, how are they even awake at that time? You know?
I think they just take shifts.
take shifts. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are real night owls.
All right. So here we are.
Selecting this is a disappointingly short page.
It's a pretty short page, but there's some other like law type links on here. So prosecutor, U.S. Supreme Court. Do you remember which court that case was tried in?
Ooh. Nope.
That probably wasn't helpful. There's not going to be a list of like every case tried by a particular court.
Yeah. Now there is a link to a court case.
Yeah, Yik Wo versus Hopkins.
Now, do you think that we might be able to go to that and see if it's part of a list of notable U.S. court cases?
Oh my god. But is the fucking shark fin case even notable, or is it just funny?
Is there a difference? It's making us chuckle.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, so that's an idea. And I'm going to suggest that I don't want to go all the way to law, though.
No, that seems a little...
That sounds hard. That's too big. That's way too big.
Yeah. I think the approach
regulators
from law would just be then see if there's like a list of legal terminology.
I think that you were actually you're onto something with your I've already forgotten the REM thing.
In REM jurisdiction.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I think that would be a way to
the do REM it. Thing you're referring to is that's me in the corner.
Uh huh.
That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
I can't decide who does a worse Michael Stipe of the two of us.
Well, I'm trying to keep it down a little bit. If I was at the karaoke bar,
you'd be letting loose, and nobody would be able to tell the difference.
That good Stipe voice.
Good Stipe. Would you shave your head just for that?
Fuck no.
Would you ever shave your head for a karaoke performance?
No. I love karaoke. The one thing I hate is like, I'd hate two things about karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all musical numbers.
Yeah, that's never good.
Especially Book of Mormon.
Oh man, I've never even seen that.
I swear we've been out at karaoke before.
I probably didn't recognize it, or I probably like resolutely ignored it.
Yeah, you may have blacked it out.
Yeah.
I don't remember what side of the Berlin Wall I was on when I first saw someone do Book of Mormon at karaoke, but it tainted both sides of Berlin at the same time.
What's the other thing you hate?
Is premeditated karaoke.
Premeditated karaoke.
People who have put like thought into exactly how, like, not just like, oh, this is one of their songs that they do at karaoke,
yeah,
but like they've worked up a whole routine, possibly including outfits. No,
yeah.
Stop it.
Outfits is a bridge too far, isn't it?
It's a bridge way too fucking far.
I've told you about my really funny Pearl Jam joke, right?
No, because if it's actually a really funny Pearl Jam joke, I can assure you, once you tell it to me now, I'm not going to forget it.
This is just a karaoke concept that I have, and I don't think it would actually work, but the joke is that you would put on a Pearl Jam song, and you'd be up there, like, getting ready to go, like, flailing your arms around like Eddie Vedder, and then every word out of your mouth was just gibberish. You just, like... But the issue when I was kind of working this concept out, when I was workshopping this, is that I realized every Pearl Jam song is at least 5 minutes long.
Yeah, that's a real problem, ain't it?
You don't want to be up there for 5 minutes, like, saying nonsense words.
All right, let me pitch you this variation.
Okay.
You go up there, and you've selected, like, a nice, like, 3-minute like Beach Boys song.
Mm-hmm.
But right as the song starts, you just kind of quickly like mumble into the microphone, "Hey, I'm gonna do this like I'm Eddie Vedder." And then you just roll with it.
Oh my god.
And then mentally try that on for size a little bit. You have to say Kokomo, though.
You have to have the one word. You have to stick one word in there that people understand. Because that's how people... you got to have a hook. Something to grab onto.
The thing that I feel like is unfair about this, though, is, like, Eddie Vedder does enunciate.
Does he?
I remember him enunciating. Maybe we're in a different time stream.
I'm going to click Yikwo v. Hopkins.
All right.
Cause...
Step 5.
Just because.
Whoa, V. Hopkins. Can you summarize or tell me what the top of this says about the case?
Yikwo versus Hopkins was the first case where the United States Supreme Court ruled that a law, this is in 1886, ruled that a law that is race neutral on its face but is administered in a prejudicial manner is an infringement of the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution.
Okay. Important.
And if I recall, I've heard of this. And it has to do with a laundry in San Francisco. Yeah, so Yikwo, and that's an Americanization, obviously, but I can't read Chinese, so I'm not going to try, was a laundry facility owned by Sang Lee. Sang Lee immigrated to California in 1861. After 20 years of owning the facility as an undocumented immigrant, provisions set out by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors said that he could not continue to run it in a wooden building.
Mm.
He continued to operate his laundry and was convicted and fined $10. And then he got thrown in jail when he refused to pay a fine.
Okay. And, but then point being,
basically they were applying this law unfairly,
mm-hmm,
because of his race.
Yeah. So, oh no.
What?
The closest thing that I see
Go ahead.
My hope for a list of notable United States, like,
yo,
it's the list of United States Supreme Court cases, comma, volume 118.
Yo, we got this. We're doing this. We're totally doing this. I'm clicking here. Right.
Click step 6, volume 118 of United States
Jesus
Supreme
Lord.
Court cases.
Oh, my Jesus Lord. Oh, okay. So this is every Supreme Court case in 1886, I'm assuming?
Looks like it.
There's a lot of them?
And
this might be a total fucking dead end, it turns out.
No, it's not. If you scroll down the page, you'll see that there's a place you can expand. It's United States Supreme Court cases by volume.
Oh my god. All right, we're going there, right?
Well, it's you can expand that. It doesn't count as a click.
Oh, this is just gonna expand if I click on this?
Yeah.
God, you're so much better at Wikipedia than me.
Oh, wait. No, it is a
click.
Wait,
no, it's a link, see?
Oh, and it's the worst link I've ever
and
fucking
this is the,
seen.
This is the most incredible arrangement of a Wikipedia article? Can we call it an article? This is incredible. There's a short explanation at the top. It says the following is a complete list of cases decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just row upon row upon row, evenly spaced out of numbers from 1 to 578. And they're all links.
This stinks.
This is like, I feel like we like hacked into the DBase. And it's just like, I feel like this is some like 10-year-old's conceptualization of how like data is organized in computers.
This is us stepping into the white room, the loading program in the Matrix, and saying,
exactly.
I need and Supreme Court cases by volume, and then whoosh.
Exactly.
Now there is an expanded categorization. Okay, other lists, landmark decisions. Hold on.
Just landmark decisions.
Yes.
In general.
And then there's by recent term that splits it into years.
Yeah. Oh my god, do you remember what year this shark fin thing happened?
Ugh, I don't remember off the top of my head. Is it cheating if I were to look now?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
We sure about that rule?
I mean,
that's fair. It's fair. Let's not do it. But we could try landmark decisions, I think.
Yeah,
so maybe
this is
best.
Landmark court decisions in the United States. So this is going to expand it past the Supreme Court, which I feel like is probably necessary.
Yeah, just one moment, though.
Because I don't think that was a Supreme Court case.
Do you remember anything about being alive during the Burger Court?
Nope. That hasn't happened in my time stream.
Oh, you weren't alive between 1969 and 86?
No. Mm-mm.
Sorry.
What happened? Tell me about the Burger Court. Yeah, I see it on here.
It just burged out.
They just burged out every day?
Every day.
It was there's nobody on the court called Burger. They just love to get some Burger King up in there.
Yeah. That's when they were sponsored by BK.
That's when they were sponsored by BK, and they sat on the bench all wearing those cardboard crowns. And the Chief Justice got the biggest crown.
He got the biggest crown.
He stacked two on top of each other.
Yeah, he's a special boy, a Chief Justice.
They tried to get a special crown for him, but Burger King, that's not their policy, so they had to stack him.
Should we do landmark decisions?
Yeah.
All right, step 8, landmark. List of landmark court decisions in the United States.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to guess that it's going to be in other areas.
It might be under property, freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures. It might be under, there's a number of areas it could fall under.
You're seeing this list, this table of contents, right?
Yeah.
Where's property? You seen that?
Oh, there's nothing that just says property, but
I don't think it's freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures.
No, that wasn't directly pertinent to the case as it was decided then, I guess. With approximately 64,695 pounds of shark fins in the title.
Yeah. And these are mostly people in these cases.
These are mostly people.
So
let's keep looking through.
I'm gonna go to other areas.
Yeah.
I guess it's not going to be individual rights other areas, right? It's just going to be.
I don't think so.
Whoa. Mm. Okay, that's a person's name, I'm guessing. Let's see. International Shuko versus Washington. Gravel versus the United States.
Yeah,
that's close, right?
Gravel's a person.
Gravel's damn it.
Gravel is a person in this case.
Okay. Well,
let's see. Now this is chronological, so it might be
I'm not seeing it here.
You know what I just realized?
Mm-mm.
Why the fuck didn't we just try to go to sharks? And then go to shark finning?
I don't know, that didn't even occur to me.
It didn't occur to me until literally just now.
I would never have thought of that. Look, this is a good one. Read this one for me.
Oh, Boy Scouts of America versus Dale.
There we go. Yeah. Have you heard
Caleb,
that?
Have we ever fucked up this bad in terms of our strategy?
I don't know. I was just gonna ask you if you've heard the Pitbull theme song to the. Do you know that there's a major soccer tournament going on right now?
I did not.
The Copa America.
I did not know that.
And it's a weird thing because it's this tournament that's always just been South America. but it's the centennial, and so they decided that meant it would be a good time to move it to the United States and to include a bunch of other countries. And more important, there's a theme song for this tournament, and it's by Pitbull.
Nice. I mean, that means there's a new Pitbull song for me to listen to. I've brought up the lyrics here, and they're kind of, I'm not gonna do my best Pitbull. That would be like if I was trying to do my best Eddie Vedder full blast right now,
disaster.
So I'm just gonna read the lyrics out and tell me if you think they're a little strange for a football tournament. Okay. All right. Mr. Worldwide.
Right.
Mr. 305. Turn up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says in parentheses, whispered, Dale.
Yeah.
And then it says, LeBron, take the high road back to Cleveland with your second year losing to the Golden State Warriors. You are no longer known as King James. You are now loser cry baby James with your feelings hurt. MIA, USA. Dale, dale, dale. Kind of weird, right?
God, yeah, I think he's a little confused.
Seems a little confused.
Or maybe he's not confused. I mean, he's a smart guy. I bet he's not confused at all, actually. I think he just, like, really hates LeBron.
This has been another episode of Can You Get to That? Jeremy.
Jesus, has it already?
It has already.
Fuck.
Jeremy, your topic, though I know it was suggested in jest, has bested us, and I honestly think
if we
were to try to run this back by trying to get there via sharks, we probably could have done it.
I'm just gonna open a new tab and just go to this article because I want to see it.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, I will tell you that my name, as I stated earlier, is Matthew Olson. Was I born in 1992? Was I born in 1974? Was I even born in September? Who knows?
Depends. No?
Depends. Tweet at us if you remember which side of the Berlin Wall I was on when it fell. And how you feel about international politics combined with time travel and delirium. I'm gonna have another swig of my Corona.
You haven't finished that thing yet? Dang.
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Get to That. Follow us. Fave some stuff. You can find the show on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CYGTT. And of course, you can find the show on iTunes. Caitlin, did you know that we now have 2 reviews?
No way.
We have 2 reviews. And I'm going to set this goal for our listeners. If you've gotten this far and you're listening to the episode, I want to see that get up to 4 reviews by next week.
Oh, man. That's so ambitious. That's an exponential rate of growth, Matt.
I want to see exponential growth. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. And of course, if you'd rather just use the web player, I guess you can. It just doesn't help as much. It's canyougettothat.simplecast.fm. Mm-hmm. Caitlin, what you got?
It's me, Caitlin Best, and my Twitter account is called @bestkabest. That's spelled BESTKABEST. And I don't have anything else really to say for myself except for that if you are interested and seeing a person with a completely dead-eyed smile, you should go to the Wikipedia page for United States via approximately 64,695 pounds of shark fins and scroll down to the section called Shark Conservation Act. And there is a normocratic politician who is smiling with her mouth only and not with her eyes
or even her cheeks
or really any other part of her face except the lips.
And Caitlin, I have one last point. I bet you have something to say after I say this, but if you'll scroll down a little bit, you'll see that under C also it says list of environmental lawsuits, which had I known. But it
could have been probably a good list for us to go to. Yeah.
Had I known. If only.
Had we known.
Any last thoughts, yeah. Caitlin?
Just one question, Matt.
Shoot.
What if technology is bad, though?